This is the Horse Radio Network.
Good Tuesday morning. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Tuesday, January 17th, episode 1611. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association. Good morning, horse world.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ability equals skill plus knowledge.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Here's a safety tip for you from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Missed it by that much.
How can I change this to make it better the next time?
Help you, I can. Yeah.
Time for Training Tuesday on Horses in the Morning with the Certified Horsemanship Association. Welcome back to the show, Christy.
So excited to be on. Jen, I keep getting you. I love this.
I love
this. You get to get out from behind the producer's desk and actually be in front. I think that's fun.
I love it. This is great because Glenn is busily getting up new websites for new shows and contacting sponsors because it's the end of the year, beginning of the year now, to get those things all taken care of. So I get to do the CHA episode, and I love it because I get to talk about the nuts and bolts of riding and teaching.
That's right. So much fun. Well, and your background, all your pony club experience and all your teaching experience is just what we do.
It's like old home week.
That's right. Isn't that great? Well, I love today's topic.
Well, yeah.
Stretches and exercises stretches for the rider, both on and off the horse.
Because it takes both. That's right. Because we have to cross train just like our horses do.
I think that's really important. I think a lot of times people don't think about that as much. And I think that it's just how it is. I know I had a fellow clinician from CHA, and she's a carded judge and very active in the American Quarter Horse Association. Her name is Carla Winberg, and she is the equestrian director at St. Andrews University in North Carolina. And I went out there, and we certified a bunch of instructors, and then it was over. And I love getting riding lessons when I can from people that I think are amazing. So I said, Carla, can I please ride that beautiful 17-hand quarter horse you have? And can I please go ahead and ride him in split reins? Because I never get an opportunity to ride one-handed. And can we work on some horsemanship drills? So she was having me do square corners at the jog and the lope. I mean, just some really cool stuff. And I just loved it. And the whole lesson was over. And she says to me, she goes, so I don't know much about, you know, your background as far as where you're injured and things. But based on kind of your crookedness, and even when I tried to fix the crookedness, you couldn't really fix some things. Do you have herniations, maybe an L2, L3 on your spine? And do you have scoliosis? And I was like, wow, because I had never told her anything. And I said, you are absolutely correct, Carla. That's the exact places that I have my herniations. And that's exactly what's going on with my spine. And thank you for not yelling at me too much about my crookedness, because there's sometimes that I just can't get straight. I can't. There's just my body says no.
There you go.
So she was amazing to pick up on that. Now, that's a true coach. Very
yes.
impressive.
Yeah, the power of observation for a riding instructor or any kind of instructor where you see your student cannot be underestimated. You have to be able to see things and take them in.
Without a doubt. I think that that is just so important. And, you know, for those of you that are visual learners and are interested in this, CHA has free videos on our website of a bunch of different types of things that you can utilize for yourself or your students or a friend that maybe is having difficulty with something. And I did one at the Kentucky Horse Park a few years ago when we had our conference there on exactly this topic. It was exercises and stretching while you're on the horse. And there's a lot of knee raise exercises and arm exercises and leg exercises. So if anyone's interested in that, 100% free, just go to either our website and look up our education videos, which is chainstructors.com, or go ahead and go to our YouTube channel, which is also CHA Instructors, and you can find it there if that's of benefit in the way that you like to learn.
There we go. And you guys have great videos there because you use, it's real life situations. You don't have, it's not a setup, so to speak. So when I watch those, I'm going, oh yeah, that I can relate to that visually. I can totally relate to it because they're real people on real horses with real instructors, and it's not all set up Hollywood style. And I really appreciate that because it helps to be able to, it's relatable. I think that really makes a big difference.
Well, thank you for that, because we try really hard to teach in the moment. We believe in those teaching moments, so we don't edit out anything. If something happens during the video, we just teach to what happened, because reality is whatever just happened might actually happen to the people that are watching it.
So when you're watching those things, you might be watching a video because you want to learn more about exercises you can do on your horse. And believe me, there are plenty you can do without a lunge line, because I don't have someone to lunge me when I'm riding, and I still find ways that I can do some stretching. And you might find something on this like, oh, I didn't expect to learn that. Great. And it's a little bonus take home that you get.
Yes. And we just want everyone to know that that's available to them, because we do produce in between 3 and 6 a year, and they're free. And you can upload them to your website. You can, you know, put them on a screen and on a projector while you're maybe doing a rainy day lesson. For those of you that only have an outdoor arena and you live someplace like I do in Colorado, you can still make money in the winter by educating your students in other ways. So that's things right. like that to think about.
Or if you need inspiration because you are going to the barn tonight and you're at work, so you can sneak a couple of those in while during your lunch break at work and get some inspiration on something you can do when you get to the barn. There you go.
Good idea too.
There we go.
I agree.
Speaking of inspiration, I was rather inspired when I found out that Toby Hall is going to be on today.
Yes, very excited to have Toby on today. He's the CEO of a new partner that CHA has called MMX for Minds and Machines. And it's a brand new type of an idea for those of you out there that have websites that might end in .com, .org, .biz, .net. This is a whole new avenue. So stay tuned and listen in when he comes on.
Yep. Calling your inner geek. Woohoo.
We are so excited now to have Toby Hall, the Chief Executive Officer of Minds and Machines Group, known as MNX, on with us today. MNX is actually a recent corporate partner of Certified Horsemanship Association. And one of the reasons why we decided to collaborate with them is due to this amazing new domain of .horse. So Toby formally took over the responsibilities of being CEO for the group in February of last year. And he also is very involved in marketing and private and public business growth on the internet. And so we're thrilled to have him on today. He does divide his time, though, between the U.S., the U.K., and Europe. So, Toby, where are you today on this lovely Tuesday morning?
Oh, thank you so much for such a warm introduction. I'm currently calling in from Geneva in Switzerland, and we'll be in Las Vegas in about 10 days' time. And then for my sins, also in China. I mean, we are a global player in these new interesting endings by which people can really start to say who they are and give a real sense of what their interests and passions are in their life. And one of these new endings, which we're here to talk today, is called Dot Horse. And it's a fascinating ending, because certainly I've grown up, you can tell from my voice, I'm British by birth, and I think like us all, horses have played such an integral part of our life, and when often we don't even realize it, but certainly as I go through my life, there has always been that recurrent bell which suddenly surfaced from me having to learn as a child, and I suddenly find my daughter putting up her hand and starting that whole pony brigade. And wherever you go in the world, horses appear. I mean, I go to the States, I'm fortunate to spend a certain amount of time in Vermont, and again, you know, these amazing festivals that bring communities together, and people are truly it's their life, and I think that's really interesting for us. So when I took over, the new management team took over the running of this business, we looked on our shelves, so to speak, we have about 28 of these interesting endings, and we saw this one called Dot Horse, and nothing had been done with it. And we said, you know, that, hey, this is something which we think could, if we find the right way of reaching into the equine community, be of real relevance. But we don't believe the right way is selling through the equivalent of Walmart or through your high street retailer. We really have to be helping those associations, in particular the CHA is a wonderful example, and really seeing how we can work together to help bring awareness of this, something that's very new and innovative to a very, very traditional to an activity that goes back literally hundreds, thousands of years. So that it's a fascinating combination of new communication skills meeting a very classic industry. And we think organizations such as yourselves hold the key in being able to reach into these communities in a much more meaningful way.
Well, and Toby, we are so excited because I'm going to tell you, we are our website, CHA-AHSE.org, which stands for American Horsemanship Safety and Education. All right, really a mouthful, but CHA.com was the Canadian Hockey Association. CHA.org was Colorado Health Association. CHA.biz was something else. So now, because of our partnership with you, we can own CHA.horse, and there's something to be said for that. Those, you know, shorter domain names are much harder to find. So I'm just really excited for you to share with all of our listeners today, regardless of if you're a member of Certified Horsemanship Association or not, that this does exist for all of you as well. Of course, if you become a member of CHA, you're going to get a wonderful discount on doing things with MMX. So I do want to point that out. But they do have this dot horse available to everyone. If you want to share a little bit more with us, Toby, about the importance of that from a business and marketing perspective, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Christy, for sort of really identifying the key point. What any new business finds today is if you go into existing domain strings like such as in the US, obviously .com, and to an extent in the UK, .uk, and so on through each country. You know, there are literally tens of millions of registrations that have been made in these extensions. In .com, for example, over 140 million, and it's difficult to find what you're looking for. Now, what we find with Dot Horse, and again with these our extensions, is if you're a new business, then being able to find your the word of your business and being able to put that with a word that it absolutely nails what sector you're in is very powerful as a marketing tool. But we also recognize that for many businesses, they love their .com. It's an inherent part of their business. And we really certainly would never wish to be arrogant enough to believe that we are somehow going to replace .com. Absolutely not. Our role is to offer choice to new businesses, and those that are existing businesses, it's really to use these endings as another doorway into your online property. So yes, you might have your .com, but you can also have your .horse ending that can be used to either link back to your .com site or actually go to a very specific area of your business, because there can be industries, businesses that service a number of different sectors, particularly in the agricultural community, and therefore that there may be parts of your business that is totally equine related. So using the .horse ending is a way of directing consumers specifically to a part of your site or a subset of or a new site that is specifically catering to that audience. So it's about ease of navigation so people can easily find you on the internet.
Let's hear it for ease of navigation. So woohoo!
Absolutely. Easier the better, because you can get lost in the myriad of things. And, you know, you can have, of course, the site go ahead and if, let's say, somebody were to put in CHA.horse and it's not correctly up yet, like we haven't made that moment, you can still have it just redirect to whatever current one you have too. So you can have many domain names all leading to one site, which I think is useful too, Toby. And I so appreciate that MNX is going down this road because this is important. I know, what are some of the other domains that you have as far as endings?
Endings, I mean, the ones that are really gaining momentum is, we operate certain professional ones such as .law, which we're seeing really interesting traction with over the last 12 months. That's been very successful. But when we go to different parts of the world, it's very interesting. We have assets such as .vip, which within the US, it's unlikely to see perhaps many people wanting to use .vip as their identifier. But fascinatingly, when you travel to the East, that phrase means quality and good. And we've seen tremendous uptake in that name, in that extension, in the last 6-7 months, with over 500,000 registrations in that extension alone. So we have our portfolio breaks down to those words which are of a more generic sense, such as .work and .vip. We then have those that are very much about interest led, such as .horse, and .fashion, .wedding, .fit, .yoga. So we have a very interesting collection of words around interests. And then we have what are described as geo-TLDs, and these relate to regions and cities. So in the UK, we run .London, and in the US, we're looking forward to launching .Boston at some point in the coming year.
Those are wonderful. So, Toby, besides just providing the domain name itself, what other support does your company do for those that are interested?
Well, this is what we've been working hard with the retailers, registrars, particularly in the US, to achieve, because it's a very every industry has its governing body and governing authorities, and we have one called ICANN, and that's the regulating body globally for domain extensions. And under their guidance, we, as the owner of a top level domain, aren't allowed to sell directly to you, the consumer. We have to work through retailers, commonly known as registrars, and suddenly the names in the US that are best known are GoDaddy and web.com, for example, and obviously there's many more. And really, we've been working very hard with our retail partners to create packages that it is much easier for the consumer really to both buy their name and automatically start getting their first designed website there and then, and with an integrated email. So that's been very important. And I think this CHA is a wonderful example of how when you bring partners together, we can help create something that's much more meaningful, and ultimately, by meaningful, I mean useful for consumers who might not be web experts. So that from day one, they can quickly have the functionality and some of the basic needs that they would want to have, rather than just having this thing, which is the domain ending. So that's us working with our retail partners, and then working with membership organizations such as yourself to be able to reach in that have the reach and connection into a specific group.
So, Toby, how do our listeners find out more about you and about the company and about being able to possibly buy a .horse domain name? What is the best way for them to do that?
Well, I think obviously if they're a member of the CHA, then absolutely go to CHA, and I'm sure Christy, you can give the relevant web addresses. If you are an organization and that you feel that we're being able to offer .horse to your members has real value, then please check out our site, which is mmx.co, or even email Elise, E-L-I-S-E, at mmx.co, and we'd be delighted to talk more about how .horse can be offered to your organizations and members.
Well, Toby, thank you so much. I know it is late in the day for you there where you are in Geneva, and we so appreciate you being on the call today and being a part of the show. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure, and please, I'd be delighted to talk again.
Oh, I so relate to your hassles getting a URL for your for the CHA. And there are many, many, many folks out there that are just struggling, especially when you have an organization with a long name and you want to use an acronym, because that acronym can mean so many different things.
Yes, it sure can. And I'll tell you one other thing too about that. What I love about the .horse, why can't you do something like horses? Well, maybe it would be like for sale. .horse. So that it looks like for sale horse. So you can be really creative,
you know,
and actually include the .horse in the name of your website.
Yeah.
So lots of fun things to think about.
Lots of interesting things. And you can go to the CHA to get more information. It's so cool that you're doing that for the horse community, because us horse folks, we would really rather ride than play on our computers for the most part. Yes.
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 And very true. But I'll tell you,
If you
just go either to our website or to our Facebook page or anything like that, any of those ways is a great way to find out more about the .horse domain.
Yeah, I think that's really cool that you've gotten together with mmx.co and really kind of rolling this out to the equestrian community at large. And that's going to stretch our computer skills, and it's going to stretch us a little bit technology-wise, which is a good thing. We need to do that in the horse business. But our next guest is going to help us stretch other parts, yes?
That was such a good segue. Love it. Cannot wait to have Jennifer Willey on. Our next guest that's going to be on today is Jennifer Willey. And now we're going to actually jump right into our topic, which, of course, is stretches and exercises for the rider both on and off the horse. Jennifer teaches Western and English equitation in Minnesota, and she's a certified master instructor with us through CHA and also clinic staff for us. She has a bachelor's degree in business and marketing, and we're so excited to have her on the show today. Welcome, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. A little bit cold here in Minnesota, but otherwise doing good. Thank you for having me on.
Do you have a lot of snow on the ground already?
We did get quite a bit of snow, and right now we're sort of in a deep freeze at negative temps. So it'll stay until spring.
Yes.
I got to go get a sweater now.
Kind of how it works. Jen down in Florida. Yeah. She's like, oh, that is like the polar opposite from what goes on where I live. Well, we are so excited about having you on today, because I'll tell you, I think your perspective of this topic is really good with some things that you've had in the past as far as issues physically and what you've done to kind of make sure that you can keep riding as you get older and as even more things happen to our body. So do you want to share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this topic really hits home for me, because I have spent probably a good 30 years focused on how to keep myself active, as I do have diagnosed scoliosis. And I am fortunate the degree curvature in my spine is only 13 and a half, so it's not noticeable out and about. Of course, my previous riding instructors and any clinicians that I ride with certainly notice it. But as I age and as I ride, I do have a curve in my spine. My spine is the shape of an S. So throughout my life, I've had to work through different exercise programs and nutrition programs to make sure that I am comfortable and pain-free.
That's really good. And I know I have some of those little issues myself with different things. I've got herniations in L2 and L3 from landing on my good old coccyx bone AKA gluteus maximus too much after going ahead of horses when I jump. And unfortunately, sometimes that didn't work out so well back in the day. So over time, of course, the back, you know, when I had my children, all of the actual pain was back labor, because it always goes to the weakest part of your body. And of course, I'm very tall. I'm almost 6 foot. And so our backs, when we're taller, get a little bit, you know, have issues as well. So I have actually started doing CrossFit. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about some of those things, but that weight bearing, I have a wonderful coach that doesn't make me go heavy. He believes in lighter with more reps for me than going heavy. And the combination of yoga and some other things have kept me in the saddle. So I'm really excited about this topic as well today. I think it's important for so many people. So Jennifer, overall, why do you think it's important for riders to stretch? Why do we have to be athletes as well as our horses?
Well, overall, and starting from the beginning, riding really is a lifelong sport. It is a lifelong learning sport. And so we, of course, want to be healthy and agile throughout our lives. But also, as we age and our bodies change, we want to make sure we are staying effective in our communication with our horses. And if we are not agile and comfortable, we become slower and then less effective at our communication.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that. I believe so many people, you know, especially in the, when they don't know a lot about the horse industry, they say, well, the horse does all the work. The rider just sits there. You don't have to be in shape. And that's absolutely a misnomer. If you don't have a good core, especially, and if you don't have flexibility and whatnot, you're going to struggle in the sport, and you're also going to actually hurt your horse. So I think there's a lot of things like that that really need to be understood. So what are some stretches and exercises, Jen, that you like your riders to do, let's say before they even get on the horse?
Especially stretching out those hip flexors, so getting into a lunge position and stretching the hip flexors, some forward bend, so stretching those hamstrings. What we don't often think about is the activation of that outer thigh muscle, that IT band. That actually gets tight in riders because we are activating that muscle often as we move our legs back and forth. So those are just a couple of the stretches, but certainly hip flexors and also calves.
Yes, I don't think people realize how much they work their calf when they ride. The only time I really ever felt my body completely and totally understand the meaning of, oh my gosh, I am still so out of shape, is people that ride endurance. I am just in awe of you. I went on a 25-mile endurance ride because I believe in trying every single horse sport there is, and at least once. So I went on a 25-mile endurance ride, and I remember coming back in, and the vet at the vet check said, your horse is great. You can go back out for the 50th. I go, no, me. You got to vet check me. I am so sore. And not the next day, but 2 days later, it was. It was my IT band. It was fascinating. And it was my calves. And not just, you would think, inner thigh. Oh, no. My inner thighs were all right. It was my core muscles and my calves and my IT band. So I so appreciate you bringing all of those up. So true. So you explained some for before we ride. How about while we're riding? Are there stretches or exercises that'll keep us limber when we're up there?
Yes, and I did want to point out first and foremost, while we all know that riding horses, there's a lot more things important in our lives. When we are on the horse, that is the most important thing. So there's an old saying, there are many things more important than riding a horse, except for when you're riding a horse. So we want to think about safety considerations. When we go to stretch, if we're having something painful, you want to make sure, number one, please don't drop your reins. You want to keep a hold on those. That is your stop. Always keep a hold on your reins. Next piece is you want to make sure you're in a good spot where you can stop and perhaps take your feet out of the stirrups and stretch your legs. Make sure you're paying attention to what your horse is doing, your location, who's around you before you start doing any stretches on the horse. Thinking about any back tightness or any tightening in the legs, you can always do some reach arounds and touch your toes. But once again, you want to make sure you're keeping a hand on those reins and understanding what's going on in your environment and what your horse is thinking at that time.
Absolutely. I think that is so key. And I know, you know, if you want to do something without reins, then get yourself an instructor who's good at being able to lunge you, tie your reins in a knot, and then kind of go to town with that instructor being able to help you stop the horse and you still having the reins, and then just making your horses okay and comfortable with you doing all kinds of crazy exercises and things up there. But yes, I love that you brought up those. That's very good. So are there, Jennifer, are there some stretches and exercises that you like for your students to do after they get off the horse?
Yes, a couple of things. One is a great investment in a foam roller. So you can get those at a lot of sporting goods stores. But making sure that you're stretching your hamstrings, as well as working out any tight muscles in your IT bands. And then the other piece I like to mention is that when we're done riding, a lot of times we like to relax. Maybe we go out to dinner, or perhaps we get in our car and drive home, and we take a hot bath. Want to make sure that we're keeping active. So maybe going for a walk after your ride. And then also the next day. The next day is usually the day that we get the most sore. So that day, make sure to get up and get moving. The best way to stave off soreness is to go out for a walk or a jog or something of that fashion.
Very good idea. So in all your years that you've been teaching, Jennifer, what are some of the common discomforts that you have heard from people? Are there kind of some universal ones that keep coming up a lot?
Yes, I've done a lot of adult classes and many ladies' nights. And the most common complaints that I hear about are sore knees, for one. And if your knees get sore when you're riding, it's very likely that your muscles are tight around the knees. And so before you ride, you want to make sure that you're giving yourself essentially a leg massage or using a foam roller to work out the tightness in the muscles. Because what happens is your muscles get tight and then they start to pull on the soft tissues connected to your kneecap. So you want to make sure that you work out any of those tight muscles there, and that will help. And do that before and after you ride, and that will help any knee soreness. Another one I hear a lot about is low back pain. And same principle applies here. A lot of times we get low back pain from tight glutes and tight hamstrings because, once again, the muscles are tight and they're pulling on the soft tissues. So what we want to do is a lot of massage, foam rolling, and stretching of the hamstrings and glutes. Make sure to work on hip opening exercises to help with the IT band soreness as well as the hamstrings.
I would agree with that. I think, we hear a lot of, you don't want to pinch with your knee, and sometimes it's also stirrup issues too, right? Stirrups can be too short. Sometimes they can be too long and we're reaching for them. That can cause some of that. Sometimes people are, instructors are telling us to go into our two-point position and we're hollowing our backs, and then we're not, using our core muscles enough, which causes some of that lower back pain too. So yes, all of that stretching that you just mentioned is so important for all of those things. Do you think style of riding makes a difference? I know you do both English and Western and different things within both of those disciplines. Do you think that makes any difference in relation to this topic?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking too. I haven't seen a difference between students having any issues. English or Western, all of my students, I get the same responses across the board when it comes to any types of discomfort that they're having. I will say that I do typically hear about discomfort from riders that are in their 40s and 50s that have maybe returned to riding and haven't been riding for a long time. And I also, on the flip side, will hear those same complaints from riders that have been riding for their entire lives and are also getting into those age ranges. So I'm thinking that some of it might be to do with just our bodies aging and having to take a look at the different things that happen and how we can continue to keep ourselves healthy.
Very good. So in calling ourselves athletes, which we are when we ride horses, just like the horse is also an athlete, it's the partnership between athletes. They say a lot about nutrition when it comes to athletes, regardless of what your sport is. Do you think nutrition is important for riders? And if so, in what way?
I absolutely do, Christy. I think that one of the best things that we can do for ourselves is feed ourselves to help make ourselves healthy. Consider food nutritious fuel versus just satisfying a hunger. And so one of the things that I like to talk about is essentially grazing for people. So it's something that I do in my day. I do at times have larger meals, but for the most part, I go throughout my day eating a smaller amount of food more frequently to stave off hunger, but then also to keep myself from getting tired from a large meal. I like to eat whole foods, bananas, apples, oranges, salads, proteins like eggs and chicken and beef. I like to keep things simple and try to eat smaller amounts periodically throughout the day and into the evening, so that I don't ever get really, really hungry. And at the same time, I'm not overloading myself on a large meal that then makes me tired.
I love that you wanted to talk about nutrition. I one time had a young gal come for a riding lesson, and she had a really rough horse, and she would trailer in and bring her own horse. And we would work a lot on sitting trot. She wanted to do dressage on this horse. Of course, there's lots of sitting trot and dressage. So we would work a lot on that. And bless her heart, this one day she just kept getting stitches and over again. And I kept telling her, well, you got to breathe, you know, breathe through your nose and out your mouth, breathe through your nose and, you know, keep working on this, blah, blah, blah. And then she finally said to me, maybe this is the problem. I just had a McDonald's Big Mac, and I also had a shake and a big old large fry right before I got on. And I was like, well, there we go. Just like they say, you don't want a large meal right before you swim, right? We don't want this huge meal right before we do sitting trot on a bouncy horse. So thank you so much for bringing up nutrition. So Jen, how do folks find you and find out more about this topic if they want to question you on it, and maybe they live in Minnesota and want to come ride with you? What is the best way to do that?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is chestnutbay.com, and there's a dash in there. It's chestnut-bay.com. I'm in Minnesota, located near the Twin Cities area, and I'm also the Region 3 Director for CHA. I'm happy to discuss with anyone any of the things we talked about today. And also, if they have any interest in lessons or clinics in the future.
Wonderful. And you can also find her, too, if you forget her website name. But you can also go to Horses in the Morning to find her website. But if you also go to the chainstructors.com and look up Jennifer Willie, she comes up. So we so appreciate you being on the show today, Jennifer, and sharing some of these thoughts with us. I think it's a little bit out of the box of just our typical show that we do, which talks a lot about very specific things of riding, but more an overall perspective of the rider as an athlete. So I so appreciate you being on today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's a topic I love to talk about.
I was having memory muscle pain when she was talking about the lateral muscles on your thighs, on the outside of your thighs. My legs
hurt. Yes, the good old IT band.
IT band, yes. And I don't know what all the muscles are called anymore, but a long, long time ago, when I took my very first riding lesson with Kim Walness, if you don't know who she is, Google her. She is a event rider from back in the day of some import, a really cool gal. And I took my first lesson with her, and I kind of felt like I couldn't ride anymore because she taught me a lot of cool things. But the next day, the muscles on the outsides of my thighs, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I've never had
that. Right, just like what Jennifer talked about. Isn't that wild?
Yes. And well, yes. And I didn't know because the muscles on the insides of my thighs were getting sore. Well, that's the wrong group of muscles, people. It's the ones on the outside that should be getting the hard work.
So good. And people don't realize that. We just all think, oh, this is all about strong inner thighs. It's like, yeah, no, you kind of need to go both in and out. You have to work the muscles at the gym on both of those machines.
Yeah. So that was very interesting. I'm going to look at her website and check that out because, and stretching and stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. So we're going to take a little break and maybe do some stretching while we listen to a little bit of music from Jared Rodgerson, one of our favorites. And then we're going to be back with Julie Goodnight.
Don't get me wrong, I like a good time just as much as the next guy, but I don't need artificial thrills. Let me tell you how I got this black eye. The other day I got bucked off, I got hung up and drug around a little. Ibuprofen turned my frown upside down. I'm talking ibuprofen will get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your age.
knowing you can feel as broken with just a little ibuprofen. Those Olympians win gold medals 'cause they eat fortified cereal, but the breakfast rodeo champions is 4 to 5 Advil. And you can tell if they're really wise 'cause they'll grab a bag of ice before they ride and spread it out and put it on from head to toe. Makes you ready to go and take some ibuprofen to get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your rage. So here's to knowing you can feel less broken with just a little ibuprofen, guaranteed to not cause addiction. And you won't even need a prescription. No, ibuprofen will get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your rage. So here's to knowing you can feel less broken with just a little ibuprofen. Yeah, I'm preaching about something I know, and this is my ode to ibuprofen.
I hope everyone had a chance to do a little bit of stretching on that break for that wonderful song by Jared. Thank you so much. And now we're going to go ahead and introduce a dear friend of mine. We're so excited to have Julie Goodnight on to share a little bit more about stretches you can do both on and off your horses.
Woohoo!
So excited about our next guest on our show. Many of you know her very well. She has been a part of CHA for a long time and, of course, is a star of Horse Master on RFD TV, Julie Goodnight. Hello, Julie. Welcome to the show again. Lovely to have you on.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So, Julie, what's going on right now? Are you traveling or are you at home in Salida?
Well, I am at home. We're sort of in the midst of some very freakish winter weather where we got, you know, a couple of feet of snow followed by below zero temperatures followed by above freezing temperatures and rain. So it's just a big muddy mess here and everybody's cranky and my car had to go to the shop and it's just sort of winter as usual in the mountains of Colorado.
And it's so funny, we just had Jennifer Willie on before, right? She was our first guest on today, and she's in Minnesota, and unlike us that gets the cold and the hot, she goes, oh, we're just minus zero the entire winter. That's how we roll.
Yeah, I'll take Colorado winters over hers any day of the week.
Oh, tough crowd up there. So I know our topic today, I love our topic today, because I think so many times, and I was telling Jennifer this too, is that we don't, even kind of in our own minds sometimes, consider horseback riding a sport and consider riders athletes. And I think a lot of people outside of the horse industry really see it like that. They think, oh, the horse does it all, the rider doesn't. And we all know that that's very incorrect, that if you ride consistently and correctly and if you are really serious about this sport, boy, do you have to be in shape and you have to have physical fitness and flexibility. So what is your opinion, Julie, on all of that and why it's so important for riders to stretch and be fit?
Well, you know, I suppose some people might think of riding horses as being like a passenger, and maybe in terms of that, although you still need balance, maybe you don't need an incredible amount of fitness to be a passenger that sits on a walking horse. But to ride a horse in an athletic endeavor requires two athletes, the horse and the rider. And the more challenging and the more difficult and the more physical exertion, the more your athletic skills are challenged. And Riding is a sport that requires very good, excellent balance, and it requires very good core strength and core strength coordination, you know, being able to use that core strength in a controlled manner. So, you know, fitness is everything, but, you know, like a lot of us, I'm not the youngest hen in the barn. And, you know, the older we get, the more important that we take care of our physical condition, our health, and all of those things for both you and your horse. You know, everything that we do for ourselves, we do for our horses in terms of fitness and health and nutrition. So, you know, it only makes sense.
I agree 100%. So that being said, I'm sure you might have some ideas about this. You know, it's probably, there's some, sure, some stretches and exercises to do while we're up and on the horse, but do we need to do anything prior to getting on to make sure we have a better ride?
Well, you know, certainly being warmed up thoroughly and loosened up, but I find I can warm up quite nicely on my horse because I'm definitely going to warm my horse up. You know, right now, as I said, we're sitting here in the middle of a snowstorm, and we're grateful to have a nice, toasty indoor arena. But these horses, particularly my number one horse, he's getting up in age. He's 17 this year, and they just require a long workout, a long warm up. Sometimes we have a horse, we're just walking bareback and warm, or maybe just walking or maybe warming up. But I like to sit on him with my feet out of the stirrups, my legs hanging long, the reins laying over the horn or secured in some way, and just sit up straight and vertical and tall with my arms hanging down at my side. And let the horse, one of my favorite things I say is let the horse move you. Just sit there and stay centered and balanced on the horse, but let the movement of the horse move all your joints and muscles. And that's one of the best ways to loosen up, I know of, on the horse. But, you know, one thing when we talk about stretching that I've learned personally, you know, through working out, in fact, I just finished working out with my friend. I do a core, a balance and core strength workout that I love. I try to do it at least 3 days a week. And it's called BOSU. Are you familiar, Christy, with the BOSU?
No, I am not.
The BOSU is like a half an exercise ball built on a platform that sits on the floor. And it's BOSU, and it stands for both sides utilized. So you can turn it over onto the ball and do balance stuff, but you can also put the platform on the ground or floor. And it's a great, it's really fun workout, but you step up onto the ball a lot. You balance on one foot on the ball. You balance on the ball with your eyes closed, and you're balancing on a dynamic surface. And that's kind of a lot what riding is about. Riding is not static balance. I can stand flat-footed on the floor on one foot and balance pretty well. But riding is not like that. Riding is a balance in motion, and it's a dynamic balance. The movement of the horse can be constantly changing. So it's a great workout. I love that. And my friend I was working out with does a lot of yoga. And so when we were finished with the, it's a great 35-minute workout. It comes with a DVD that has these great workouts on it. And and you can do some really good sit-ups and a lot of core strength stuff, but you use the support of that half an exercise ball to lay on and stuff to support your back and your abs as you do the workout. So it's a really good core strength and balance exercise program. You have to buy the ball, which is kind of expensive. But when we were finished this morning, just a little while ago, I asked my friend to show me some yoga stretches just to kind of get those muscles we had just worked all relaxed and lengthened out. And so that was fun. So that was kind of getting off the horse. Now, you know, of course, being in a barn, you're not exactly dressed to stretch, and you don't want to exactly lay down on the ground and stretch. But I think as long as you do a lot of cross training, and as long as you do the fitness work and do your stretching, then the yoga stretches, the Pilates stretches, any kind of workout that challenges your balance and your core strength is going to benefit your riding.
I would agree. I've started to do more yoga as I age, and I was mentioning earlier, I'm quite tall, and so I have some low back injuries and things like that. And boy, has all that stretching really, really helped me to maintain my core strength while I ride, and a little bit of CrossFit that I do too, but at low weights and higher reps. That's how I like to do CrossFit. That's also really helped me. So I appreciate you bringing up the Bosu ball too as another option. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it really, because the balance stuff that you can do, there are certainly many, many fitness regimes that involve balance and balance boards and balls and platforms and all that. And I love that stuff. Slack lines, whatever. I love that stuff because first and foremost, and above and beyond everything else, riding is a sport of balance. And because our balance naturally declines as we age, your balance, if you don't work on it, your balance goes downhill every day. I mean, once you're in your 20s, it's downhill from there, unless you work on it. And as long as you continue to work on your balance, you will maintain better balance than if you don't work on it. So that's the big thing. And that's, so I'm always looking for something like the Bosu or any other kind of balance board that gives you the opportunity to hone that particular skill of nothing but balance.
I agree. Balance is so key. And I know we've done entire radio shows on just that topic alone because it's so important. So once somebody's up on the horse and they're all warmed up and everything's fine, are there particular exercises that involve stretching that you like to do maybe at different gaits? What are some ideas there?
The two times I would think of to stretch would be as you're warming up and as you're cooling down. And I really like to get people stretching out their shoulders and arms and lengthening their neck muscles and lengthening in the spine. But standing still, you know, there's a lot of stretches you can do to help kind of warm up and find your balance. I like, you know, a good old standby. Once I get somebody really nice and vertical and tall, then, you know, you can turn and look back behind at your horse's tail in either direction and grab the pommel and the cantle. So grab the opposite side pommel as you twist, and you can use the pommel and the cantle to pull a nice twist in your spine as you lengthen. Another really important thing in riding is to get the lower back relaxed and to get the hips as open as possible. And so if you take your feet out of stirrups and you let your legs just hang straight down, long and relaxed, not toes up and heels down and in proper riding position, but just sitting on the horse, standing still, letting your legs hang down long and relaxed and your toes and foot relaxed. You want to actually bring your spine into a J shape so that you tuck your tailbone underneath you as you pick your both knees up to the withers of the horse over the pommel of the saddle and try to touch your knees together over the pommel of the saddle. Almost anyone could do this. It's not hard at all. But what you'll feel is a stretch in your lower back, and you'll feel a rounding of your lower back, and it will feel extremely relaxing on your hips. So this is not only a great warm-up, but it's a great cool-down if you're really tired. Maybe you just had a real active lesson where you did a lot of trotting and a lot of cantering, and your body's kind of tired. Your hips are no doubt going to be sore. If you will touch your knees together in front of the pommel of the saddle, that'll really help open those hips and round that lower back. And then as you come back down to your riding position, you want to try to keep that roundedness in your lower back. You want to try to keep that J shape in your spine. And that's going to help keep your, not only keep your aids of communication more clear to the horse, it's also going to be a more healthy position and a stronger position for your back. And also in this position, your core muscles are engaged. So you have a nice strong center, right in alignment with the horse. So that's probably my most favorite, stretching regime.
Julie, I love all of those ideas, and especially for myself, and I know many others that I personally teach too that have low back issues. That is super advice. I'm going to try that for sure. When people get off the horse, do you think it's important to do any stretching?
When people get off the horse, they're usually attending to the horse. So, I don't do any of that in my clinics, because when we're finished riding, you've already gone like several hours hard, and you have to attend to the horse and take him and put him away. So that's the end of my job. But I think certainly anytime you have exerted yourself, it's good to just gently stretch and lengthen any muscles that you have been tightening in your exertion. And you know, one thing I learned years ago about stretching is the worst time you could possibly stretch is when you first wake up in the morning. And so it's really better to stretch after your muscles have thoroughly warmed up minimally. And maybe it's more important to stretch after a workout than it is before. But I think really you got to warm up and you got to cool down. So, I think definitely anytime you're feeling like you have exerted yourself, probably some stretching is in order. Now, for those of us that ride horses all day long, it's like anybody, if that's part of your job and you do it all day, every day, even though it's physical, we don't really think of it as a workout, right? We think of it as a normal everyday thing. So do I stretch every time I get off a horse? No, I just get on the next horse. So, but at the end of the day, when I'm at home, take off my boots, whatever, if I'm feeling it in my lower back, which is probably where I'm going to be feeling it, maybe I want to get down on the floor and stretch that out then.
Yes, I find good old child's pose every single time.
Yeah.
Speaking of yoga. So mm-hmm. I know, balance, we talked a lot about that, but how about posture? Do you think posture comes into play with all of this?
You know, absolutely. Posture is sort of my new mission on life. And I'll tell you, I have said for years, I actually have said for decades, that most riding errors are posture problems. So I have been correcting posture in my teaching for decades, and I have known of its importance. And in riding, if you are perfectly correct in your posture and position, you could be a perfect rider, but nobody is. But here's the thing. Here's the deal. The older you get, the worse your posture gets. Now, some people very young have terrible posture, terrible. But gravity takes its toll on us. And as the body ages, same thing for your horse, as the body ages, your posture declines unless you work on it. And so I'm 57. I'll be 58 this year. And I have, you know, two older sisters and several older friends. And not only that, but just people you see. Once you become aware of your posture and other people's posture, no matter their age, you start becoming aware of your own posture. So I made it a commitment, actually a couple of years ago, personally for myself, to improve my own posture. I decided I was not going to have the posture of old age, that I was going to work my guts out to not let my posture decline. And so I committed to myself for a couple of weeks to just try to focus every waking moment on checking in on my posture. And do you know, after the first week, having good posture became the new normal for me. And I'm not saying my posture's perfect. I still have to work on it. Everybody has to work on it. And the older you get, the harder you have to work on it. But what has really gotten me motivated to get people to focus more in my teaching on posture and the health issues that are involved with that, the aging issues that are involved with that, not to mention the riding skills that are involved in that. I have gotten, Chrissy, I can't tell you how much positive feedback I have gotten from people, because when I go to expos in the last year, at least the last year, maybe two, I have been, if I can get off on a rant on that subject, I will, if you know what I mean. So yes. I have been talking about this in public, and I have gotten the most incredible follow-up months later from people. I went to the expo in Ohio, and I heard your talk there, and I really enjoyed it. I just wanted you to know the thing you said about posture I took seriously, and it has changed my life.
Oh,
and when you get a comment like that, that's such really important validation, that not as important as it has been for me to work on my posture, that for all of us riding instructors to share that message of just one of health and aging, wouldn't that be great? If we just touch one person on that, wouldn't that be great?
I love that you bring up posture. When I was a kid, I was the tallest in my class, as, you know, girls are, and I'm also this tall. And I was always embarrassed of it. Christy, go to the front of the line. And, you know, you're in elementary school, middle school. You don't want to be pointed out. So I would slouch. And I'd come home, and my mother, who's 5'1½", and she's all about the half, she says to me, young lady, when you ride a horse, you always sit up straight, because your riding instructor makes you. To be able to win in the horse show arena, you must sit up straight. And you do great. Why do you slouch off the horse? And I remember telling her, well, I'm embarrassed, Mom. She was, do not be embarrassed. Have good posture your whole life. And I agree with you 100%. What an amazing thing to be able to walk into a room, be really straight and really self-confident. It eludes self-confidence when you have good posture too, and it makes you feel better about yourself. So I love that you bring that up.
It does. It actually puts you in a more confident state of mind. There's all kinds of, I don't know if you've seen this stuff about different postures, like the Superman pose and stuff like that. That actually has sort of a chemical effect on your mind. So it's important stuff. And it's, you know, nothing breaks my heart more than to see a tall young girl in high school or whatever, junior high even, slumping because I don't want to be tall, when all my life, because I've showed horses all throughout my childhood, and without question, the tall kids do better showing horses than the short kids. And I was a short kid. And so I always wanted to be taller. And so now when I see these young ladies slouching because they don't want to be tall, it just breaks my heart. So I got to grab a hold of them, shake them a little bit, and make them stand up. And yeah, that's another thing that our job as riding instructors entails, building that confidence in that young woman, let her know that tall is an asset in this sport. Hey, when you're bucking hay, I can guarantee you tall is an asset. There's all kinds of things where, you know, and the confidence is huge. So I'd like for people, us riding instructors, to focus more on that. And to fix it on the horse, you have to fix it on the ground. And to fix it, your posture, you have to work at it. You have to strengthen this muscle. The little trick I got that card on recently where she said, "You changed my life," was if you want to try to get back in tune with your posture muscles, imagine somebody snuck up behind you and slipped an ice cube down your back. In fact, if you can't figure it out from just imagining it, get someone to drop an ice cube down your back. And you, those muscles you tighten right in the center of your back are the good posture muscles. So we have to work on strengthening those. We have to work on flattening our shoulder blades, opening the chest and shoulders, and flattening your shoulder blades on your back, rotating your shoulder blades down towards your hips. And you start working, no matter how bad your posture is right now, if you start working on it, it's going to be a little bit better tomorrow, and it'll be a little bit better every day as you get better and stronger.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for bringing all of this up today. I think it brings up a lot of new things for riders to think about and also instructors to help riders. How can people find out more about you and locate you after the show is done today?
Well, my website is juliegoodnight.com, and everything you could ever want to know and much more is there. My schedule for clinics and expos is always up to date, to the minute, on that website. I'll have 5 or 6 clinics around the country in 2017. I have 3 special riding retreats at the Silesi U Ranch in Colorado that are really popular programs, all-inclusive vacation programs. And then on my website, by the way, we've been working hard over the last 5 years to develop online resources, training resources for horses and riders. And so we've got all kinds of resources online available by subscription. We also have a free level of membership to basic access to good training information. So all of that is online at juliegoodnight.com. And that's the best way to reach me.
Well, and Julie, I am so excited because I don't know, you know, we live in Colorado, but we live, you know, a good 5 hours from each other. So we don't get to see each other much in the state, but hopefully I'll see you before then. But if not, October is, of course, Certified Horsemanship Association's 50th anniversary this year in 2017, as we were founded in 1967. And Julie will be one of our keynote presenters there at our conference that we're going to have in Lexington, Kentucky. And Jen and Glenn are going to come from Horse Radio Network. Woo-hoo! And we're going to be on the radio live from there for our 50th anniversary. So it's never too late to start promoting that event, and hopefully a lot of folks listening can come.
Absolutely. And we always look forward to going to Lexington. And so I look forward to seeing you all there.
Well, the entire time that Julie was talking about posture, I was sitting here having better posture.
You know, they do those little quizzes and tests and they on human behavior, and they find out whether or not yawning is contagious. I think sit up straight or stand up straight, I think those words are contagious in that even if they're not being said directly to you, they have an effect.
Yes, without a doubt, because I actually have a picture thing kind of in front of me when I turn my desk a certain way. And if I'm slouching, I can't see my head at all. And I was sitting up so straight, I could see almost all the way to the bottom of my chin.
That's interesting, because on my desk, the way my monitors are set up, I cannot quite see out the picture window in our living room, because my office is in the living room, unless I'm sitting up or standing up very straight. If I slouch, I can't see out the window. It's inspiring.
That is inspiring. Now, you know, you need to look out the window, so you need to sit up straight. I love the posture talk. I so enjoy Julie's perspective of stretching. And for everyone listening, you know, you can see all the show, listen to all the shows that we've done here on Horses in the Morning. And we've been doing them now for a couple of years. We so enjoy it. Just go to chainstructors.com, click on education, and then the radio tab, and they'll all come up. You can also, of course, go to Horses in the Morning tab on Horse Radio's network website and find them there as well. But thank you so much today for MMX.co, who came on and also was very involved in today's show and helped us make it happen. So I hope everyone has a really great next month.
There we go. And you can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. We get lots of interaction. We get show ideas there, too. So let us know what you want to hear about. And you can follow Horse Radio Network on Twitter if you're one of those people who lives their life in 150 characters at a time. Our Twitter handle is Horse Radio, all one word. And you can listen to all of the shows and every single show that you want to listen to on your iPhone or your Android. Go to your app store and search for Horse Radio Network. Our app is quick to download. It's free to download. And it's easy to use. All three things that horse people appreciate. And thanks again for listening. And we'll be back again tomorrow with more great horse chat.
Bye, Jen.